Pauly, I know we're super excited about the NBA playoffs. I know baseball is in full swing. Both teams being really interested in the North and South side. And of course, everything that's happening by the end of the run of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews over at the West side of Chicago. But my friend, we know that no matter what time of year it is, the NFL is king, and the NFL draft is just right around the corner. And here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shivari, and myself, Mike Mercado, we have kept our eyes on it because not only are the beloved Bears involved with a lot of different talks, have been involved with a lot of different actions and reactions, but Paulie's Raiders are also have a vested interest in the top 10, and there's been a bunch of mock drafts that have come out. We're about 2 weeks away from this thing actually happening, and I wanted to run by some of these through you, Paul, because it has changed. The number one pick has changed all of a sudden. For a while, it was Bryce Young, then it became C.J. Stroud, and now it looks like it's Bryce Young once again.
Yeah.
So it's really weird how that's gone back and forth. So I'm going to go through. This is actually from CBS. This is the one I'm looking at. Paulie has one as well, just kind of as a reference point. But I think a lot of these are starting to end up looking the same. We're getting closer and closer. But this is by Josh Edwards over at CBS. And right now it looks like Bryce Young, the number one pick. C.J. Stroud, the number two pick with Houston. Will Anderson, the number three pick. Here's where I think it's a little interesting. Will Levis at number four for the Colts. I probably believe then that he has Anthony Richardson.
He has Richardson at three, getting the trade from the the Colts getting it from the Cardinals, and then Cardinals going four with Will Anderson.
Okay, so and you can kind of see now where we're getting where the names seem to be hovering over, because right here we have Anthony Richardson at number five to the Seattle Seahawks. Jalen Carter at number six to the Lions. Is he number six at that point too?
I have Lucas Van Ness. Jalen Carter was five to Seattle. Six is Lucas Van Ness going to the Lions, and then Tyree Wilson to the Raiders, which I don't understand why. I see a lot of mock drafts having the Raiders picking an edge, and we got to remember that they locked up Max Crosby to a long-term deal, and he's statistically one of the top 10 edges. I'm not just saying
that as a
Raiders fan. And then I know Chandler Jones has dropped off in talent level, but they're committed to him too, so I can't see them wasting a draft pick on another edge when they already have two professional edges, and they have a lot of positions that need answering, like offensive line, a middle, an interior lineman on the defensive side, even defensive backs. I know this.
Well, that
a
is
lot
one,
of listeners don't care about what the Raiders are doing, but as my vested interest in them, I don't understand why they would draft an edge in the first round.
No, I think it's really interesting because here at pick number seven, they have them going with Christian Gonzalez, a cornerback from Oregon at pick number seven. It goes back to you talking about the defensive backfield, but I want to talk a little bit about your point of view of this, because let's look at Seattle, let's look at Detroit, and let's look at Oakland. Excuse me, the Vegas Raiders. That's never going to change for me. The Vegas Raiders for a second, okay? For just 1 minute.
Okay.
You have Seattle and Detroit, who, at the very least, there are playoff hopes for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody like Anthony Richardson going there, or Will Levis, there's time to develop because you have Geno Smith there.
But wait, let's time out on that. You're giving them playoff hopes based on the fact that they had decent 2022s. Think about where both of those teams were going into 2022.
For sure.
Everyone had Seattle dead last after the Russell Wilson
100%.
Trade. 100%. And then Detroit, I know, has been kind of up and up and up and coming.
Right.
And I think now that, you know, I don't know what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, but assuming he leaves the division,
it changes everything.
That makes the Lions that much better of a team. In that division. I don't want to write off teams like Las Vegas. To me, I know they're in a tough division. I still think that with the right moves, they could put themselves in line to be a playoff team. Maybe not on the likes of what Seattle did last year, what Detroit's expected to do this year. But I think that's the NFL, though. Is like
one first of
flash. I think there's maybe two or three teams at the top that are almost maybe a shoo-in to make the playoffs, and there's two or three teams at the bottom that are a shoo-in to miss the playoffs. Anything in between that, those 29 teams or 27 teams that are remaining, it's a roll of the dice.
So and you're 100% correct. That's why I do give a little bit more stock to Detroit, taking into effect that you probably won't have the same Packers running the field like you did for the last 15, in this case 30 years, with two different quarterbacks. But you're right, there's going to be teams that went from first to last and last to first. It's the NFL. That's always going to happen. That's why you're optimistic. I think Jalen Carter going to the Lions is so great for Detroit and so dangerous for Chicago, because if you have Hutchinson and Carter there, it completely changes what your strength is as a Bears team. Because really, if you're looking into the future, other than Justin Jefferson, the Vikings don't have a quarterback that's going to hold you there. The Lions don't. But the Lions have everything else, and the Bears are hoping they have that quarterback. Well, what's the answer to a problematic quarterback in your division, getting defensive linemen that are going to go after him. Mm-hmm. So you have two teams that are trying to go on the rise, one who's head and shoulders already there, and you can see them now fall, Jalen Carter falling to them after all the off-field incidents he's gone through, changing the whole dynamic of the NFC North. Where I think it's interesting for the Raiders, and I truly believe this, and some, you know, it started off as a bit too kind of a badger Paulie, but I think more than ever, if you, depending on their draft pick, if you're going with the defensive end, somebody who's a pass rusher, if you're Vegas doing this, that's because I believe you're moving on from some point from Chandler Jones. And depending on what you're willing to do, even Max Crosby with the new deal, for one reason, do you believe in Caleb Williams? Do you believe that Caleb Williams is the quarterback for you next year?
Yeah, and if you do, you got to get into that, it. But I think
I'm in on it.
It's hard to set yourself up for that. You know,
it is, but like, look, not everybody can get as lucky as the Bears did, where the Texans literally gave it to you, the number one pick. But if you're in a position where people are going to give you the benefit of the doubt, where you're playing a heck of a tough division, even now with Sean Payton going to the Broncos, and let's just say you do win two or three games and end up with the number one pick, nobody's going to blame you for going after head and shoulders top quarterback prospects since Joe Burrow.
I mean, this is a whole conversation left for a different segment, but I really truly think that teams do not tank on purpose in the NFL. And I know that Caleb Williams to you is a once in a generation type of talent.
I don't know if he is, but that's the prospect.
Like, and that's the thing, is like, they would really have to be that bad of a team in order to do it. But in that scenario, if the Raiders are the worst team in the NFL in 2023, they're doing a new coaching hire,
which I do think they're doing.
I don't think they're going to give Josh McDaniels that short of a leash of 2 years to figure it out when he inherited a mess of a team.
Sure.
And they just basically flushed out a lot of the Gruden, Mayock, Reggie McKenzie era.
Yes.
So now it's their own guys. So if you give them, and this is the thing, is I know the fan base has a very short fuse. A lot of sports fans have a very short fuse. It's a what have you done for me lately thing. But no one wants to have respect for the process of, you cannot rebuild a team from scratch in 1 year.
But you live in a city that did it.
I can't think of too many teams that have done that.
For sure, but you live in a city that has done it, and you saw the
Bears
fan base.
Bears did not redo the whole team in 1 year. They
literally traded Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn
and
in one offseason.
Mid-season.
Yeah, but they
and
literally,
are they that much better?
No, but they ended up with the number one. No, but
we
this
don't
is
know.
But in the NFL, you live off of equity. But you live off what you own. And
Matt
Eberflus
and Ryan Poles are on a longer leash, I think, than Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels. I think the Bears could be forgiven. Their front office could be forgiven if this year's a little bit of a train wreck.
Sure, yes,
because
yes.
Maybe it's chemistry issues.
Yes.
Maybe there's still holes in the roster, yes. This and that. With what's going on in Las Vegas right now, with how many, I don't know if you're aware of how many former New England people they've brought in.
Yeah,
front
which never
and,
works.
So now, well, yeah, but I mean, but for the sake of this for the sake of this argument, I think Josh McDaniels wants his people. He wants to
right.
fail with
yeah.
his people
yeah.
rather than fail with someone else's people. And I can respect that. I don't know if it's going to work out for him. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think you're seeing that it's two different franchises, okay? They were both bad teams last year, yeah. as evidenced by where they're drafting right now. But the Bears, I think, are in the midst of a rebuild where this is maybe year one of things might start working in their favor.
Okay.
Or this is year three of, like, we still have
from.
To tear it down.
Okay.
Whereas the Raiders, it's like, hey, if you don't get us 8 or 9 wins or more this year, there's going to have to be some major decisions that have to be made in the offseason.
So, but, and this is where my whole, for the Raiders specifically, because if you just look at the rest of the teams around here, right? The Texans, they're going to draft a quarterback this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers are going to draft a quarterback this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals are trusting in Kyler Murray, so unless they trade him this coming up after this season, and we know that he has the torn ACL, so they don't need a quarterback. The Colts are going to go after a quarterback this year. Maybe Seattle doesn't, but that's a team that... If you're the Raiders, and you can find a way where you're 7 weeks into the season, and you've only won maybe 1-2 games, this is worst-case scenario, mm-hmm. right? It's negligent if you don't essentially say we have to tank this season for one reason.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's not.
They don't have a backup quarterback.
That's where
highly likely that Jimmy Garoppolo, injures himself because he's always injury prone.
That's where it comes to.
Yeah,
you
have
no
to
choice.
Take the season, and by that point, that's where you start seeing like who's for real, not.
So this is where I was getting at.
But at the same time, if they draft like Will Levis. Or,
that's a problem. That's different.
Or Anderson or
yes.
whatever that early. That yeah. could be. I mean, I get that on one hand. It's, hey, you're looking for some backup. But at the same time, it's like, well, why would you Why would you waste it on a quarterback this year when you can waste it on a quarterback like next year? Yeah. And there are other parts of that roster that need to be filled. What I don't get, though, and what do they have on your mock? It's Tyree Wilson on my mock.
Tyree Wilson goes at 8, so one pick after.
Oh, you said Christian Gonzalez would go. Yeah. So, and I have him flipped on mine.
Which makes sense. So that's who they're probably going to land.
See Paris Johnson also landing on the Raiders, too, because I think they need a tackle.
Let's merge the two teams together. Let's merge the Bears, because they have the Bears here at Peter Skoronski after Tyree Wilson goes through.
And that'd be cool if they had Skoronski, because local guy. Yeah, and his grandfather. Doesn't Skoronski sound like a Bears name? Yeah.
His grandfather or his grandfather, I believe, played for the Packers.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but an NFL player.
Oh, it's a Midwest lineman, Grabowski type of name.
From Northwestern, shout out. But okay, so this is where I kind of want to draw in the Pauly thing is, you live in a city where we saw that if you're telling your fan base that the tank isn't to tank for Will Anderson or one of those once-in-a-generation defensive players, but in theory you're hoping that the quarterback is the one you're tanking for, your fan base is more willing to forgive you. Chicago Bears fans were more willing to forgive the tank because they already had the potential prospect quarterback. But when you're dangling that number one pick, it's the only sport where the number one pick is more valuable than having money. Other than having the star quarterback, the next valuable thing on your team is the number one overall draft pick in sport.
You could argue that NBA probably has
If it's somebody like Victor Wembanyama, sometimes you end up with Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
Sometimes like there isn't obvious number
Greg Oden, you mean? Greg from Ohio State.
Greg Olsen, shout out, should have been a Chicago Bear forever. Shout out to the Carolina Panthers for DJ Moore.
But late in the round. But yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, what the Bears were able to do with that pick. The fact that we were arguing off the air with Devin how it was like, wouldn't you like to move down a couple spots and have a Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver like Davante Adams? And of course Devin wouldn't go for it, which whatever, he has his reasons. Sure. But if I could say, hey, what if you move down a few picks, get DJ Moore and then some picks, and you're not giving up that much, that looks a little bit, see, and that's the thing is like, if Devin would have presented us with that counter argument, I would have been intrigued. I would have been like, alright, now I see where you're coming
from. Always my trade proposal was, you trade down to number 2 and get Brandon Cooks. Yeah. So I've always thought like a wide receiver needed to be part of this deal. So for the Bears, I think dream scenario for the Chicago Bears, Jalen Carter's there at 9.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
Dream scenario, but realistically, what do you think's going to happen?
They're going to go either Peter Skoronski or Paris Johnson Jr. Yeah.
I don't think both will be off the board, but you think for sure they got to go for that offensive lineman.
If you can, I would love them to go after Jaxon Smith and Njaba, the wide receiver from Ohio State. But I guess you wait a year and you just try to get Marvin Harrison Jr.
And does he have a relationship with Justin Fields?
I mean, other than like they all have the camps together and stuff like
and
that.
And then what about Paris Johnson? Did he have a relationship with?
I think much more because he's a junior.
Okay.
So he might have been a freshman or a sophomore when Justin was there. I'm a little, because Justin's already been here now. That's going on his third year. So
I kind of make it a point not to follow Ohio State football.
Yeah, I don't blame you either. Go blue.
But, salty Midwesterner in me.
I think, you know what? I wouldn't be mad if the Bears dropped down. If they drop down another maybe 2 or 3 spots and go after somebody else. Like, I think there's plenty of talent out there, and you need a lot of holes to fill.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing for the Bears. Like, there at number 9, there isn't a more than likely a guaranteed Hall of Famer like there was at 1, right? Like, it's just...
Well, you got to have really good scouts at that point. You know, I'm intrigued by Joey Porter Jr. just because of the bloodlines. You know, I don't know, that's things I haven't scouted these guys enough to know who I would kind of like stake my claim on. I think it's interesting. Quarterbacks is always the most interesting thing to me because it's how hindsight always wins. You know, the day and age where it's like, oh man, we should have seen that Ryan Leaf was going to be a bust. And it's like, man, I remember in 98 they were talking about he was better than Peyton Manning.
Uh-huh.
And then there's even like the receipts now, like some ESPN writer was saying by 2018 it'll be Leaf wearing the jacket and Canton and not Manning. And it's like, hey, I don't remember saying Manning was going to be a bust. I remember thinking Leaf was the better quarterback then.
It happens all the time. Here in Chicago, and you're a Raiders fan, so you've seen a lot of things happen too, but here in Chicago, 1 year, you're drafting Mitch Trubisky instead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, and some years you're drafting Justin Fields and not a Mac Jones and Trey Lance. It's like sometimes you end up on the other end of it. You have to get lucky. Scouting has a lot to do with it. It is why I believe the Raiders, after they jumped ship with Derek Carr, I think they did him dirty. It might have been time, but yeah. Everything before that, they could have done him dirty, other than getting him Davante Adams for the 1 year that they got him Davante Adams.
Yeah, they also hooked him up with a good deal that would have solidified. If he would have gotten injured, it would have solidified his time in Vegas.
But they need to find themselves a quarterback, and if anything this draft has showed you...
I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be a good enough replacement for now.
Good enough replacement to not get you Caleb Williams. That's the problem. Good enough to not get you Caleb Williams.
But I think you got to realize that like it's so season to season that like you can't build for the long term in football. You could build a core, but you can't tank from season to season based on one player.
I mean,
Houston, like it was they could have been the number one draft pick. They won the last game. You know what I'm saying? Like,
what if
next year the Raiders are like 3-14 and they end up with a second pick and they don't get Caleb Williams?
Yeah.
Was it worth it to do all that? Like, how many heads are going to roll? How many lives are going to change?
What's the opposite, though?
The opposite is you live in mediocrity. But I think the problem is, and we're just as guilty of this as fans and commentators, is that it's championship or nothing in everyone's eyes when 97% of the league is going to not win a championship every single year.
Your sentiment, I believe, is correct. I do believe that how you get there is wrong, in my opinion, because I do believe you don't have to win a Super Bowl every year, but you need to be showing us that you're in a direction. Again, the Bears are not going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon, but at least I have a feeling I know that they're trying to do something. When you bring in Jimmy, and I'm only bringing the Raiders because you're here, but when you bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, Geno Smith, these guys, it's like, yeah, you're trying to patch over, but you don't have Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, you don't have Joe Burrow.
At the same
time,
look at who one of the most efficient quarterbacks was in the league that got to the playoffs last year, Geno Smith.
But if you're Pete Carroll, that'd help you well in Europe, but would you rather have Geno Smith, or would you rather have the idea of a top-tier prospect quarterback that you got in the draft?
At the expense of the other 52 guys on the roster? Think about other people got to eat, too.
Yeah, but...
Think of how many people lose their jobs because the team was bad.
Sure, but
all
that's
because
the NFL.
You wanted to get one guy that's not a guarantee.
It's 100%. But that's literally the curse of the NFL. It's the turnaround. It's like some of these dudes are playing. Their max contract is 3 years. But you can't think about somebody who's making the practice squad. Are there examples
that you can think of off the top of your head that have gone this route? Of the tank to get the quarterback?
Yeah, the Cincinnati Bengals. They went to the Super Bowl.
Okay, and they got lucky with Joe Burrow. And you're right, because the second year they drafted Jamar Chase instead of an offensive lineman like they needed, and they really could have used that offensive lineman
this
time around in the playoffs. Yeah. But at the same time, are they even that far without Jamar Chase? But that's... They had to get the first round pick in order, or the first overall pick.
You have to get
pick.
Lucky, 100%.
You have to get the first overall pick in order to do it.
I think this is something you and I could talk about all single
day.
I know.
It's philosophy, too, so there's no right or wrong.
We have a long show ahead of us. We got to talk Bulls play-in and playoffs. We got to talk about Jonathan Toews. And we'll always be talking about this because we know football is life.
What we got yet?
football is life!
Wrong football. Hey, we got less than 2 weeks until the draft.
The Marvelous One, Dan Marver. It's Devin Tingle. It's Paul Shabari. I'm Mike Mercado. We're on Twitter at SportsCubicleTV. Your thoughts on this year's NFL draft.
Rojas.